Well, good morning, everybody. Today, I was thinking of a beautiful joke about this little boy who learns how to count. And he's so proud of himself, he goes home and he tells his mom, he says, "Mommy, I can count to five." And mom looks at him and says, "Wow, Johnny, that's wonderful. Let me see." He goes, "One, two, three, four, five." And she says, "Wow, good job, Johnny. Can you count any higher?" He says, "Well, sure I can. One, two, three, four, five." But our first reading has this beautiful prayer from Solomon. And he says, "The people that you have given to me, I cannot count. I cannot number them." But it's a beautiful prayer, this prayer that Solomon offers to the good Lord. You remember that Solomon followed Saul, who was the first king, and then David, who was the second king. The first one turned out to be pretty bad, and Saul was a disaster. And the second king, David, turned out pretty good. He wrote most of our Psalms and the Scriptures, as you all know, and he turned out to be a pretty good guy, except for the fact that he made plenty of mistakes also. And as a punishment for those mistakes, God said, "You're not going to be the one to build the temple. You may have drawn up all the blueprints and everything, but you're not going to do it. It's going to be your son Solomon." So then Solomon inherits the throne, and Solomon does, in point of fact, construct the beautiful temple. We call it Solomon's Temple. And the thing was quite majestic, size of many, many football fields all put together. And you wonder, how in the world did they do it? But you know, it's an interesting thing what Solomon prays for here. Kind of as he is set upon this kingship of Israel. He says, God says, "What do you want? I'll give it to you." And Solomon says, "I want wisdom. I want to be able to know right from wrong so that I can do right by the people that you've given me and so that I can do your will in all things." And God smiles on this prayer. It made me kind of do a little bit of thinking about my own prayers. I think we tend to pray for success or achievement or this goal or that goal. We tend to pray for the things that we have in our own minds deemed the best for ourselves or for others. We don't so much pray for wisdom, but we should. We should pray that we know right from wrong so that we can discern right from wrong in our day-to-day life, such that our whole life becomes kind of a discernment of what is God calling me to here, and where is God in this moment, and what is he calling me to, such that we have that wisdom to be able to recognize his voice and follow where he calls in our day-to-day kind of life. Solomon knew that without God, he was very likely to make a hideous mess of things. And so that's why he prays this prayer, the beautiful, eloquent prayer, our first reading, for this gift of wisdom. God says, "Because you have asked for this, not for a long life for yourself, not for riches, not for the life of your enemies, but for understanding, so that you may know what is right, I will give you a heart so wise and understanding that never has there been anyone like you up to now, and never will there be an equal." That's what we pray for. Not for riches or for a long life for ourselves or for the lives of our enemies, all the other stuff that we can clutter our prayers with that are actually very selfish things. We are called by God to have a selfless prayer life, to have a prayer life that asks, "Lord, whatever you want, I want wisdom so that I can figure it out, what's right and wrong, and do right by everybody that you've given me in my life." Solomon, unfortunately, didn't pray this prayer enough in his life because he kind of turned out to serve a bunch of idols after several years went by. And that's unfortunate. And I wonder if maybe that's the same for us, that sometimes the longer we do our religion and the more that we kind of go through the routine of things, that if we're not careful, we can get lukewarm. And then the enemy seeps in and we lose that wisdom and we forget, as our gospel says, what is our pearl of great price? The treasure buried in a field that Jesus talks about is God Himself. And that once you find God, you'll give up the whole farm for Him. You'll give up everything for Jesus. You'll give it all up once you find it. And the problem with Solomon was that he did understand that at first, but then as riches were reaped upon him, and as he became more powerful and more well known and admired and all these things, then he forgot the pearl of great price. Three questions I just want us to think about real quick to end my sermon. Number one, what's the most important thing in your life? And if you just thought about anything other than God, you might have an idol. Number two, what's your biggest hobby? If you just thought of anything other than God, you might well have an idol. Last, what's the one thing, the one person you can't live without? And if you just said anything other than God, you probably have an idol. And the reality, my friends, is that Solomon answered all three of those questions right at the beginning of his kingship. And God smiled upon him. The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. But then as years went by, he forgot to even ask those questions. But had he done so, he would have answered them wrong. So my friends, today I think our job is this. Our job is to pray for wisdom, to pray for that kind of the discerning, to have that selfless, that beautiful prayer for wisdom, and to make sure, to do a self-assessment, to make sure we don't have any idols, because that's what destroyed Solomon and everybody else with him. So let's ask the good Lord to be with us, to help us never to fall into the trap of idolatry, because many people fall into it unawares. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.